the attributes of the Holy Spirit, because the attributes of the Holy Spirit are also the attributes of God, right? And so last week we ended up with looking, we ended up looking at John chapter 16, verse 12 and 13, which says, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you of things to come." And tonight I want to take that to a, to the next level, because the Holy Spirit was a reminder. He would bring things to the disciples. Remember, did everybody get a handout, by the way? Everybody's got one? Oh my goodness. Now you need one. Yes, you do. I'm pretty sure you do. Somebody, is there any left? Probably Mr. Gene will get one for you. Did all y'all get one? Oh, you're sharing. Oh my goodness. Sharing is caring. Don't want anybody to not have the correct materials. That's right. Amen. Bill wants one. Bill wants one. Does Bill have a pen? All right. Lindsay needs a pen. What in the world? There you go. You're welcome. I tell you. Mary, did you get one? And you got a pen. All right. We want to make sure. Bill, you good? Yes, you are. Don't be talking smack about yourself. It's pretty simple. All you got to do is write it down. Write what? Part 72. I don't know what part it is. Part 72, Michelle? Another 5 or 6 years, we'll be about done. That's right. We're just going to keep recycling this. Make my life easier. Wow. I can stretch these out. That's right. I'm not doing that, Mike. You need to just settle down. Yes. What? What'd you say? Oh, what'd you say, Mavis? Wow. Sure. Sure. Awesome. Wonderful. I'll read it from afar, okay? I'm going to read it from afar. So we've been talking about all these attributes of God and how the Holy Spirit has been the reminding role, if you will, that he did to give unction and to give direction and all those kinds of things to the disciples and even the writers of the Old Testament. And tonight I want to look at the fact that according to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14, the Holy Spirit is like God and like Jesus. He is also eternal. He is eternal. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So here's your first one right out of the gate. The purpose of all the cleansing was to allow the people to worship the living God. How many of you know tonight that that you were created to worship God. You are created to praise and to glorify and to worship Almighty God. Now that sins have been forgiven, you and I can worship truly and worship freely. We're not limited to external actions. We worship in the Spirit, and our worship does not need to be mediated through some priest. Amen? Your prayers don't have to go through a priest. You don't have to go to confessional and confess your sins to a priest. You have an advocate, and his name is Jesus, and he's in the presence of God right now. So our worship doesn't need to be mediated through a priest. We can worship God on our own with, here it is, with unlimited access to him. Aren't you glad that you don't have to schedule an appointment to go to God? Whether you're laying in a hospital bed on an off service day or whatever the case may be, you have the wherewithal because God said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. He's right there with you every hour of every day. And so you don't have to do any of that. We learn from, if you go back and read through Hebrews chapter 8, you'll learn that the ministry of the new covenant is internal. And he says, according to chapter 8 and verse 10, he said, I will put my laws in their mind and write them in their heart. That's why it's important for us to read God's word, pray God's word, listen to God's word, because it's in our mind and he writes his word on our heart. Here's another one. This work is done by the Holy Spirit of God. It's done by the Holy Spirit of God. You can reference it in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 in the first three verses. But the Spirit could not dwell within us if Christ had not paid for our sins. So cleansing our conscience cannot be done by some external ceremony like baptism. It demands an internal power. What's the old song, Kathy? We used to sing, Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a joy, what a change in my life. Yeah, yeah. With Jesus on the inside, he's working on the outside, and he's bringing change to our life. Isn't that amazing? Cleansing cannot be done by external ceremonies. Jesus Christ, according to God's word, is without blemish. He was able to offer himself as the perfect sacrifice. In one of the sermons that I'm going to be preaching in the next number of days, I talk about how Jesus is the Lamb of God. And it's no mistake that he was referred to as the Lamb. What was the purpose of a spotless lamb? It was for sacrifice. And Jesus came as the spotless Lamb of God, fully being prepared to be our sacrifice, to sacrifice his life for us. So Jesus was without spot. He was without blemish. He was able to be offered as the perfect sacrifice. Romans chapter 1 and verse 4 and says, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. So this expression completes a parallel reference to Jesus's nature. The two phrases use the Greek word kata, which is literally translated by the words according to. And so Jesus in reality was a descendant of David according to the flesh, kata sarka, and he was declared the Son of God according to the Spirit of holiness, which is kata pneuma, and then that other word that I've got here that I can't pronounce. So I'll just leave it at that. But the gospel message tells us about Christ that he's the Son of God, that he humbled himself, and that he was glorified by the Holy Spirit. And so when the gospel message is received into our heart, Jesus becomes our Lord. Listen, if Jesus Christ is not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. Amen? If he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. So the message is true that Jesus Christ is Lord. And here's the reality. It's true whether you believe it or not. It is true whether we believe it or not. That's another one of your fill in the blanks, by the way. Personally recognizing Jesus as our Lord is an important part of realizing that His authority extends to every area of our life. Every area. Job chapter 33 and verse 4, the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. Psalm 104 and verse 30, you sent forth your Son, they are created. They sent forth your Spirit. You sent forth your Spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. Genesis 1 and 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So here's a question. Why does God use the plural form, let us make man or humans in our image? Pardon me? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the triune Godhood. Now, how many of you know that when you go home tonight and you look in a mirror and you see your face, that's not what God looks like? That's not what Jesus looks like. If you don't see anything, that might be what the Holy Spirit looks like. I don't know. When it says that we are created in their image, it's because we are created just the way He wants us to be created. We're created the way that He wants us to look. Our one view says that this is a reference to the Trinity, God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all of whom are God. Another view, and here's one of your answers, another view is that the plural wording is used to denote majesty. To denote majesty. Kings in those days traditionally used the plural form of speaking in speaking of themselves. We'll just write it in there. Like D plane, except denote. It's denote. Well, because it's majesty's underlined, but denote is what goes in the blank. So that's duly noted. It's denote, not D plane. Some of you have no idea what I'm even talking about. Deep plane. All right. Settle down back there. So, you guys are killing me, man. I did. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Was blind, but now I see. You didn't know you could sing that song to Gilligan's Island, did you? Moving along. You guys are costing me a lot of time here tonight. The Holy Spirit is distinct from the Father and from the Son. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are each spoken of in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. It says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I can't tell you how many times, and I don't know why it only happened there, but the only place I ever experienced this was when we were in Utah, and I would baptize people. I would baptize them like very much like I do now, with exactly the same kind of a tank, the whole deal. And I would always baptize the people that I baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. But there was a guy in our church, and he would come to me after I would baptize anybody and tell me that I'm baptizing people wrong. I should not baptize in the name of the Father or the Holy Spirit, just Jesus. And I would say, well, let me show you this verse of Scripture that says that we are to baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So I don't know where you're getting your information. Obviously, I never changed anything. I still continue to do that. But it just amazes me how people will just take bits and pieces and do what I don't understand it. But here's another one of your fill in the blanks. To baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit affirms the reality of the Trinity. It affirms the reality of the Trinity, or the concept that is coming directly from Jesus himself. He did not say baptize them into the names, but into the name. Into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so when Jesus was baptized, the Father spoke. You heard his voice from the heavens. And when the Father spoke, he sent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit descended out of heaven in the form of a dove. There's nothing holy about a dove. Why do you suppose he picked a dove? Who said he's pretty? Boy, Mavis, you're on one tonight, aren't you? Yeah, a dove is pretty. It is pure. It is gentle. And all those kinds of things. But there's no real spiritual significance in the reality. He could have sent it down on a buzzard or something. I don't know. But he chose that. The form of the Holy Spirit. And so we obviously Jesus is there in the water. So you have the voice of the Father, you see the Holy Spirit descending, and you hear, you know that Jesus is there. Side note, rabbit trail, isn't it amazing that when the apostles were baptized in the Holy Spirit in the upper room, it wasn't birds sitting all over them? What was it? Fire. Have you ever asked yourself why that is? Jesus did not need fire. Is an element of cleansing. It's an element of cleansing. And so when you burn something, if you get something hot enough, like, you know, I used to make my own bullets all the time, and for my muzzleloader and stuff. And so you'd get car batteries and weights off of old tires, and we'd melt those things down. And the stuff that would come to the top is called dross, and it's all yucky and ugly looking, and you can take a stick and scrape all that off, and then it looks like my favorite color, which is chrome. And so fire purifies. And so the disciples and us, we need a little fire. Amen? Purify us. Jesus was already pure. He didn't need all of that. And so that and $5 will get you a cup of coffee at the restaurant. So I'm coming in for a landing. Luke chapter 3, verse 21 and 22. When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized, and while he prayed, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him, and a voice from heaven which said, "You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased." So again, after the heavens opened, the Holy Spirit descended in a bodily form. And here's your next fill in the blank. According to John chapter 1, verse 29 through 34, the act of the Holy Spirit coming down from heaven like a dove revealed to John the Baptist that Jesus was in fact the Messiah. He was, in fact, the Messiah. He was, yes, he was his cousin, but he was much more than his cousin. He was the Messiah. And here's another one. It signaled that Jesus was the Messiah and that the age of the Spirit. The age of the Spirit predicted by the prophets in Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 1 was formally beginning. John knew that the Messiah was going to come, but it's uncertain when he knew that his cousin Jesus was the one. I mean, I guess you could go back to when he was in his mother's womb, right? I mean, I guess you could go back to that, because when the announcement was made, the babe leapt in his mother's womb, right? So there could have been that could have been, I mean, if you want to go that far back, I'll leave that up to you. The church uses the symbol of the dove all the time, but the bird wasn't important. Okay, we just use it as a reference because that's what the scripture said that he represented, was represented by. And so here's the descending spirit portrayed a gentle and a peaceful but an active presence coming to anoint Jesus. Here's your last fill in the blank. The age of the Spirit. The age of the Spirit. So it was not that Jesus needed to be filled with the Spirit as if there was any lack in him, right? Because he was from the Holy Spirit. He that's how his conception came, right? The Holy Spirit overshadowed her in his conception. This was like Jesus's royal anointing. It was his grand entry, if you will. It was the launching pad for his earthly ministry, if you will. From the Holy Spirit. From the Holy Spirit. You can come to the piano if you want, Kathy. You don't have to, but you can if you want. The Holy Spirit's appearance in the form of the dove showed that God's plan of salvation was in fact centered in Jesus. He was the perfect human who did not need baptism for repentance, but he got baptized anyway. Amen. This baptismal tank over here has no saving or salvation qualities tied to it. You're as saved as you're ever going to get the day you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. There's sanctification that comes through longevity, but you're saved the day you accept Jesus. Amen? Baptism is just being obedient and following the Lord in those waters of baptism. So anyway, any questions or comments about tonight, about this Bible study? Yes, ma'am. What did I just say? Your baptism has nothing to do with your salvation. To answer your question, do you have Jesus in your heart? Have you asked him to forgive you of your sins? Then you're saved. Baptism doesn't affect that. Okay. Yeah. Right. Here you are. I guess you got your answer. One of these days, though,
So why don't we pray for Shane and Mike on this trip they're getting ready to do, so as a church. So Lord God, Lord, we just pray, Lord, we pray that you're with Shane, Lord, over these messages that he's going to deliver to these folks in Utah, Lord. Just help him to get out there and to open hearts and open minds through you, Lord, through the words that you've put into his heart to come out of his mouth, Lord. Just use him as a light, Lord. Use him as a vessel to pass those things and share those things, Lord. And as always, Lord, Mike's going to be there, Lord, and we know Mike's going to be talking to people, Lord. So shine through Mike, Lord. Shine your light through him to show what you've done in him. him, Lord, and through Shane, and just help them to show everybody they come in contact, Lord, even the guy or the gal at the check-in counter there at the airport, Lord. Just help them to be a light to everybody that's around them out there, Lord. And just help this messages that Shane's be ministering to out there, Lord. Just help those to sit in his heart to where he's not stressing about him. He's not worrying about him. He's not worrying about what these people who he doesn't know are going to think, Lord, that he's just going to go out there and open his mouth and let you work through him, Lord. And just let you just shine, Lord, and shine and save lives out there, just like happens here in this church, Lord. Just be with them, follow them, keep them safe during their travels, Lord. Bring them back here safe, Lord, and just help them to experience something out there, right? Some type of opportunity and some type of moment out there, Lord, that they can come back in that miracle moment to be able to come back and share it with this body, Lord, to say, look, this is what we did, and this is what God did through us and for us. And we're excited to hear about that, Lord, and we're excited for the church to hear about that. So we just thank you, Lord. We love you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. One other thing that I would add to that is I've never, you know, here I just do what I want because I'm the pastor. But I'm going to another guy's house. And Sunday, I preach 3 times. And they only want me to preach for like 20 or 30 minutes. I can't even open in prayer in 20 minutes. And so I really, listen, I'm being dead serious. I want to honor them. And so, you know, these men's retreat meetings, I've got a time frame that they want me to speak in as well. And I just want you to pray that I can say what I need to say in the parameters that I've been given. And here's the thing. I don't want the clock to be a distraction. And if I go over and it's led of the Lord, just pray that the Holy Ghost just goes buck wild. Amen. That's my prayer. Because I didn't ask him if I could, but I promise you tomorrow night I'm going to be preaching and I'm going to give an opportunity for men because I don't know any of them. And they're not going to leave that place without me giving them an opportunity to come to the front of the church, or I don't even know where we're going to be honest about it. But wherever we're at, I'm going to lead somebody to Jesus. Amen. So anyway, yes, sir.
So, this is for you. Okay, so there's several times that I go out to my, over the last couple of years, I've been going out to my daughter's and my son-in-law's to take care of their sheep. And they have this guard dog, and his name is Ranger. He's a big old boy. So this last time I was out there, after I got done feeding, we're out there, and he's just sitting there, and I'm just scratching his head and paying attention to him, and I started praying for him. I said, look, you're the guardian here. You take care of these sheep. And I don't want you to do this when you get home. Tammy, don't let him do this, okay? Because I was praying for Ranger, and we were having a good, I mean, I'm serious. I was praying for him that God would help him to do his job the way that he needs to do. Just like you do here. He got so excited, he went in the barn, dug a big old hole where he laid himself down in there. I don't want you going home and doing that. Because number one, you don't have a barn. But I'm serious about this, man. We pray for him every day. He's our guardian, he's our shepherd. He loves everybody, and he teaches us whatever God gives him. He teaches us, and so I just appreciate and love you. You just keep Keep guarding the sheep.
All right. Lord, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for your word. I thank you for all the prayers that have gone forth, Lord. And Lord, more than just do I thank you, Lord, we call them forth right now in Jesus' name. God, I pray right now by the power of your Holy Spirit, who we've been talking about tonight, God, every prayer that's gone out, Lord, for doctor's appointments that we've already had, doctor's appointments that are upcoming, Lord, I just submit it all to you. And I pray, God, that you would have your hand on each and every person, Lord, that is facing doctors and doctor's appointments. Maybe we even have to travel to Eugene or to Portland or wherever to these appointments. God, I pray that you'd watch over them. Give them journey mercies. Keep them safe, oh God. Lord, I pray for vehicles that you would give, keep the vehicles running smoothly. Keep the air conditioners flowing cold. And God, I thank you for it. I pray for good reports. We've had enough bad reports. God, I'm believing you for some good reports. God, for your glory and for your honor. Watch over this congregation while we're away, God. I pray tonight, Lord, that you'd fill Bill so full of your Holy Spirit, God, that when he gets in the pulpit on Sunday morning, God, that he just oozes out all over everybody, God. I pray, Lord, that you would use him for your glory and for your honor. I pray, God, that he would have the opportunity to lead somebody to Jesus on Sunday morning. And God, I thank you for it. I pray you fill this house up. God, for your glory and for your honor. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. God bless you. God go with you. Have a great rest of your evening. I'll see you next.